This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor of WorldSweeper.com and the executive director of the World Sweeping Association. This month, we have as our featured contractors some people that we've not only not interviewed before, but a concept that we haven't done before. This is a father and son team from Kentucky. We have Jim Blackerby, Jr. Jim is the owner of Lexington Pavement Sweep, handles the greater Lexington, Kentucky area. And his son, Jim Blackerby III, and we're decided as a convention just to call him Jimmy for this interview, is the head of Louisville Pavement Sweep, and he grew up with the business with his dad and then moved out and moved on and started his own company about a year and a half ago as Louisville Pavement Sweep. So welcome, gentlemen. Thank you very much for being on the line with us.
Thank you for having me.
Jim, since you started first, why don't we start first with you? What got you into this business of power sweeping in the first place, and when did you do that? And I know it's treated you pretty well, so if you would, give me an idea of when you got into it and how that progressed for you.
Well, it may take a few minutes to cover it, but similar to Jimmy, my family had a shopping center that my grandfather developed. And I grew up with that in the family. My dad managed it. And as my grandfather got too old to run it, his kids, my dad and his sisters, took over the management. And Dad did the maintenance part of it, you know, the construction and the upkeep and that kind of stuff. So I one day saw how much we were paying somebody to clean the parking lot. I asked Dad if I could do it. He said, sure. And I just got up and went over there with a bucket and by bare hands and just picked up anything and everything I saw in the parking lot. Then when I went to college, got a little busier, I decided that wasn't something I wanted to do, went to school, and after that, got married, had Jimmy and two other sons, and I was a stockbroker. And because of the children, I needed some extra money, so I approached Dad again and said, can I clean the shopping center? He said, sure. So I went back at it the same exact way, basically covering in a grid area every square inch of the parking lot.
What year would you say that was that you went back at it?
That was probably about 1988 or 9, I'd guess.
Okay.
At this point, I'm a full-time stockbroker with Dean Witter, getting up before I'd go into work, pick up garbage. And one day, a customer of mine calls me, and it was Bill Winokur, who had Zandale Shopping Center, and said, Jim, what is this I hear about you picking up garbage? Didn't know what to say, but maybe a little embarrassed, but I said, yes, I'm doing it for Dad. And he said, well, what do you think about doing it for my shopping center? I said, sure. So I got up an hour earlier and did two of them. And then another client of mine who had a bigger shopping center that couldn't be done by hand asked if I would be interested. So I knew I had to get a truck at that point. And that's pretty much how it's grown. And it was always intended to be like a part-time business. Or if it did take off, I would have someone do the sweeping, and I would just manage it and be a broker during the day. And it got to be within 6 months or so, I had two trucks, and it just has gone crazy ever since that.
What did you start out with for a truck?
Well, my dad said to me, he goes, you know that the competition's not going to allow you to get a foothold. And I said, I bet I don't think they'll have a choice. These parking lots are not clean, they're not doing a good job, and I think all I have to do is just get my foot in the door, and the work will speak for itself. So I knew that I couldn't go with the same, at least at that time I didn't think I could go with the same truck they were using, which were Temcos and Swartz back then. I was worried about pricing, and I knew that if I had a better price and a better service, then I could get their business. So I went, at the time back then, they don't even make them anymore, it was called Innovator. It was a very small truck with a little pony engine on the back, and I used those for 2 or 3 years and went to one of the sweeping conventions and met Tracy Day at Nighthawk, and I've been using their trucks ever since.
Real good option for parking area sweeping, there's no question.
I'd like
about
to add something if you don't mind.
Sure.
And when he was talking about,
and this is Jimmy,
having three kids and sweeping the parking lots and eventually taking over a full-time job, one of the things I've learned is that it's incredibly difficult to work full-time at night, and I'm by myself. I'm married. I don't have any kids. But one of the most impressive things that I've learned about my dad since I started on my own is balancing your full-time job with your family. And there was never a time when I was a kid and he had started working full-time that I felt like my dad never had time for me. So when I started on my own, I realized how much time this would take. That's when I started to get really impressed that he was able to balance work and his family at the same time.
How have you done that, Jimmy, in your own life? I mean, what lessons have you learned with that? I think those are great lessons to learn.
When I started, my dad said he thought I could do it. And at the time, that's something that never even popped in my head. I was working for him. I graduated college, and I was looking for a job to find. Couldn't find one with the recession and everything. So when he brought it up, it was like a light bulb went off. And it was, well, if my dad thinks I can do it, and I know I can sweep parking lots, then this is something to try out. So I moved from Lexington to Louisville, and I've since been married since then. And my wife is from Lexington. I'm from Lexington. And I had to pack everything up with her and move to Louisville. And one of the main motivations I've had is I've moved my wife halfway across the state. My dad's given me his seal of approval. So if I'm going to start this, and God forbid something doesn't work out, my company goes out of business, it's not because I haven't tried as hard as I could every single night to justify my wife moving and to make my dad proud.
Those are real good reasons, both of them, to do a good job and to keep doing it that way.
You're going to get me teary-eyed if you didn't stop.
Well, I'll tell you, having your dad looking over your shoulder, even metaphorically, is huge. Plus, you know, one of the things we do in the World Sweeping Association is if somebody needs a mentor, we get them a mentor. And in this case, you have one. It's built in. It's in the same market area. So that's what I would think would be huge as well. And I assume you started with Nighthawk as well, Jimmy?
Yes, I did. And I was incredibly lucky to, I'd say it's pretty rare in the sweeping business to be both an employee and an employer. So I was an employee with my dad, and I got to see things from the perspective of an employee. And once I started my own company and had employees, then I knew what to look for. I knew kind of the places that wouldn't get sweat because an employee was having a rough time and was tired that night. So I think that's helped me a lot to be able to understand what an employee's thinking and what an employer's thinking.
That's a very good point, and I think that's one of the things that, you know, we talk about walking a mile in somebody's moccasins or something. It's very, very helpful when you're in a position to do that. How long did you work for your dad?
I worked for him probably my sophomore year of high school and then all through college, so five and a half years, something like that.
So that gives you an enormous grounding in how the business should be run and best practices and best management practices and all of those kinds of things.
Yeah, it gave me a head start because those 4 or 5 years, I knew I could sweep a parking lot. And it was funny because when I first started working for my dad, I was in high school. I thought I knew everything being that age. And I worked for him starting off in the summer. And when I started, it was just a job. It was at nighttime, so I couldn't be with my friends, and I didn't like it at all. And it reflected in my work. I remember clearly one night, I don't know if my dad will remember this, but I remember him saying, you can either be a guy that picks up trash, or you can be a guy that picks up trash half-assed. And if you're going to be out at 3, 4 in the morning, getting dirty and sweaty and all that, why not just do the best you can so at least you can be proud of it? And once he said that, it was like a light bulb went off. And that next night, I tried hard, and I saw that when I pull into a parking lot, it looks like a bomb has exploded. There's stuff everywhere. But I can put a 50-pound backpack blower on my back, I can walk with my legs and use all this energy, and with my hard work, I can make it look like no one was there. And I've talked to property managers and people in with regular jobs, and they've said, I might work a whole day, and at the end of that day, I don't feel like I got anything done. Whereas in our case, I feel like I've gotten everything I wanted to do done because I can sit in a parking lot and see that I've got it done. And ever since my dad said that to me, it's just completely changed the way I've seen sweeping a parking lot.
Well, that's a good point, because that's exactly the satisfaction that I get from this business, too. Like he said, you pull into a parking lot, and you just can't imagine what has happened during the day that can make this kind of a mess. And when the stores were closed and everybody left, they had no idea it was this dirty. The cars were in the parking lot, and they couldn't see it. And when they came in that morning, it was already clean. So they have no idea what we're even dealing with. So, you know, myself or an employee will pull in there, and there's no one to see the mess. Only they do. They blow the sidewalks, blow the corners, sweep it all up, empty the garbage cans that may be overflowing. And when they get done and they stand there and look at the place, they, you know, I just can't help thinking in my head, you know, dang, look how great this place looks. And the satisfaction you get from that. And you get to repeat the exact same feeling again at the next stop and the next stop. And the next thing you know, the sun's coming up and your night's over and you can go home feeling like you've accomplished something and made a difference.
Now, what a difference that scenario is, just because you have pride of ownership in your job. And you want to have it be that kind of a night and day, not only metaphorically, but exactly night and day kind of a change. You know, you do that at night, they get there during the day, and they see a clean parking lot. And that certainly is, I'll chime in my two cents on the property managers not really recognizing how dirty these places get. And we're seeing a lot of that now with third-party vendors coming to the fore, where the property managers are pretty much stuck with whatever contractor is hired by the third-party vendor. And a lot of times they're not getting correct pricing for doing the whole breadth of the job, and as a result they're not doing a good job. Plus then you have typically the lower, if they accept the price the third-party vendors throw out there, you have the kind of the lower echelon of contractors anyway that are the ones that are getting a lot of those accounts. And so having that pride of ownership is huge, and that's what has made you successful in the Lexington market area, and also is doing the same in Louisville for Jimmy.
And the toughest part of it is to transfer that over to the employees, because I can't be in every truck. I can't be everywhere at once. And I have to have the employees feel the same way. And it's, you know, it's a struggle, but it is something we talk about almost every night. We before we head out, we'll have a meeting, and they know that I'm liable to pop in on them. I tell them that every store in here gets a bill each month with their rent for what their CAM is, their common area maintenance. And they have to write that check. And every time they write the check, everything that could have been wrong is popping in their head. That garbage can was overflowing yesterday. They don't appreciate having to write that check. And they're all, from that point on, keeping an eye on the parking lot. You got the property manager, the shopping center owner, the customers themselves that might complain if they come in. We have a lot of people watching our work. And that's where the employee has to understand that it's not just in the middle of the night, they're by themselves, and who cares. You have to care, and you have to be able to want to make a difference, and it takes a special individual like that to be able to take that ownership on themselves. And you sometimes have to go through several employees to find the right ones, but when you get them, they're wonderful.
Well, and I think there's really something to be said for, you know, what you're saying is, you know, we have to do that just about every night, and really keep at that with the employees. And I think that's something that contractors listening to this should take to heart. If you're having difficulties with that, bring that up and talk about, you know, how things could be better or what's getting missed. You don't need to necessarily single out the people that are the culprits, they'll know who they are, and it's you want to praise in public and give advice in private, but I think people don't really realize how much you have to stay on top of that to get your employees to buy in to that. So it's not just a job, it's a job with pride.
I have so many people approach me at, say, a gas station when we're filling the trucks up, wanting to know if I'm hiring because they have a CDL, which we don't even need to have. But they think it's just a driving job. They're going to sit in their truck and they're going to drive it around the parking lot, go, smoke a cigarette, listen to the radio, and it's going to be a great job. And it's anything but that. We're talking at the end of the night. Sometimes I feel like I've walked 10 miles, blowing the sidewalk, walking back to the truck, picking up islands, picking up landscape, carrying garbage bags to the dumpsters. And at the end of the night, you are probably in the truck less than half the night. So it's not a driving job and a sitting down job. It's a physical, dirty, nasty job. And that's, another plus on these employees, how tough they are. You throw the weather in, which is totally unpredictable night to night, and it's amazing what these guys do.
I found that's one of the main things I found since I went out on my own is when I worked for my dad, I was lucky enough that he had assembled a group of employees that did have that pride in their job, and all I had to do was show up and be a cog in that wheel where I had pride, and I knew that all of my dad's employees had pride. But since I've started on my own and I've had to hire my own employees, I've had to go through the learning process of retaining employees, training employees, making sure they know all the safety kind of stuff. So that's another thing that I think some of the people that have been doing this for 15, 20 years kind of take for granted, is that they've, over the years, assembled a group of people that take pride in their work, whereas when I'm just starting out, I'm still trying to kind of find those people, and I think I found them now.
It can certainly be difficult, though, and that's why you don't want to, under-promise what the difficulties are and let them get out there after you put a bunch of money into training them, to learn that they can't handle it. So it's real important when you're hiring people that are going to be out there sweeping for you at night to make sure that they realize, how difficult it is. Maybe make it more difficult sounding than it actually is so that they'll stick with you.
Every now and then we'll have a mechanical problem, things you can't foresee that will either shut a truck down or stop the backpack blower, won't start or whatever. Every now and then, not often, but I'll have an employee that thinks that, like, he's hit the jackpot. He doesn't have to blow sidewalks the rest of the night. I have always, because of the way I started with my fingers and a bucket, I kind of look at the whole thing as the ultimate tool is the sweeper truck. And I can make a parking lot just shine clean with all the tools that I need. But if the truck goes or the backpack goes or whatever, we've always can resort to the last, the tool we've always got, our fingers. And the blowers, the picker and a bucket, whatever has to be done to get the parking lot clean, it can be done. Not to take any excuses just because a truck won't start or the backpack wouldn't run, to say, okay, well, we don't have to blow the sidewalks tonight. Get your picker and get your bucket and pick up every cigarette butt laying on the sidewalk. Make it look as if you did blow it tonight. Tomorrow night we're back in the ballgame when we get the thing fixed, but tonight we got to go without the tool of choice. And as long as they understand that there aren't any excuses, there's no reason why they have the expectation that we have to get this clean no matter what happens, and they do.
And they're not the ones, of course, getting the phone calls the next day when there are cigarette butts all over the place. And,
right.
So they think maybe that doesn't happen. Well, that's good. Let's move on to, how this has changed. First off, Jim, how have things changed since the late 80s until now? That's been a long time, about 30 years. I think a common complaint is that pricing, it seems like, continues to go down. The cost of trucks goes up, that kind of thing. Have you seen that? Have you also seen other types of situations through the years? Are expectations now different than they were 10 years ago or 20 years ago, do you think?
Well, when I started, I went in knowing that I was going to be the low-cost provider, that I was going to do whatever I had to do to get the business. I was pretty confident that once they saw the difference that I could make and what they were getting, that I could approach them to with a price increase. And that happened across the board. For the first, I don't know, say 5 or 10 years, it wasn't really any problem getting price increases. But probably for the last 10 or 15 years, it's been extremely difficult to get any kind of price increase and have it stick. Once they'll say yes, and you may get it, but as soon as somebody might come in and give a price that's several hundred under the price that you're doing it for now, they might entertain a change. It's been risky to get the price increase or to insist upon it. So there's not been much price increases that I've seen in the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Jimmy, going out into a new market for you? Everybody else is established. You're the new kid on the block, so to speak. How has that affected your pricing model? Are you having to, you feel, not have the profit margin you'd like to have to get going, or are you finding places that really are not getting good service and, you know, going in there at a fair price to get great job done?
Well, it's a little bit of both. There's a sweeping company in Louisville that is the big man on campus. And in my personal opinion, it seems like when you get that big, some things fall through the cracks. And when you have that many trucks and have that many employees and the mechanics and all that kind of thing, then your price exponentially grows along with that. So with me having the 3 trucks, 5 employees, and working myself, I've had a pretty easy time of coming in with a fair price because I don't have the overhead of the people that have been there for a lot longer than me. When I first started, it was kind of difficult to get my first customer because I had just started, I had 1 truck, and no one knew who I was. Thankfully, I was able to sweet-talk someone into giving me the properties that they had, and ever since then, it kind of snowballed because I had the 3, 4, 5 properties they had, and I made sure when I was working by myself and continuing today that I had every single leaf, cigarette butt, bottle, anything in that parking lot was gone the next morning. Using that as a jumping off point, I was able to say when I talked to the property managers who I was, who my company was, and when they said, well, I've never heard of you, how long you been in business, I could kind of counteract that by saying, I've been in business for 1 year, but I've done it for 4, 5, 6 years, and to see the work that I do, go visit these places. And when they went there, they were the cleanest parking lots in all of Louisville. Even though I was new, didn't have any contacts or anything like that, that's one of the epitomes of your work speaking for itself. And that kind of counterbalanced the fact that I was new. It didn't really have a market share, so to speak.
Well, when somebody has a big part of the market and people think, well, that's really the only game in town, and I think that they might also think, well, that's how the job gets done. You know, it's mostly clean. You leave this and that, and, you know, maybe the corners aren't as clean as they could be, but, you know, they come out here every night and they clean, and they don't really realize what that difference could be. And I think a larger company can also, one of the problems that they will run into is here, you've just talked about your dad, who, when you're a sophomore in high school, he's the hard-ass, you know, owner, yeah, dad that you would just as soon not be around it, but you, yeah, need some money. He has developed what he has developed what needs to be done to do it correctly, and he's transmitting that to you and to the other employees. At some point as you grow, then a manager comes in, and maybe he's been your best driver or something like that, and he starts taking on that role, but he doesn't have the same conviction and perhaps experience and so forth that the owner has. He certainly doesn't have the same bottom line that the owner has, where the buck stops here, and so I think that's an advantage you now have, and it was transmitted to you by your dad. And I would advise those bigger companies out there that might be getting complacent to go do your own spot checks. You know, you've got a manager out there theoretically doing that for you. Does the manager's oversight, is that the same as your oversight would be? Do your properties still reflect your own ethics when you started out?
And that was a selling point for me as well, is, you know, that the guys that have been doing this for a while, they have the secretaries, they have the different departments within their company, they have the employees sweeping it, and it's just so far removed from the owner. And what I told the property managers, I'm the owner, I'm the secretary, I'm the accountant, and I'm also the guy that sweeps the parking lot myself. I thought that really went far away. When I first started, I was stumbled upon this quote that's always stuck with me. And I believe it was the founders of Google that were talking about this. And they said, right now, there is a group of guys sitting in their parents' garage that is developing something that will make us obsolete. And I realized if that's a billion-dollar company saying that, then it could happen to the biggest sweeping company. So I've used that as my motivation to always make sure that I can't get snuck up on, because my service is second to none.
That's certainly a good role model to have, something good to think about.
You asked about price. And again, what Jimmy was just talking about when he was saying, you know, the secretary answering the phone and the owner's out playing golf or whatever it may be. The bottom line is, we clean parking lots. Beginning of the day, is the parking lot's clean or it's not clean, and no one cares if there's a secretary back at the office or you own your own building or how you're paying for the trucks or do you have health care or do you have a cafeteria for your employees. None of that matters. It's about, is the parking lot clean? And with the third parties that you mentioned being out there and with price being hard to increase, we have to watch the bottom line, and anything that comes between getting the parking lot clean and an expense that doesn't provide that is an expense that I don't know if you can, you need to be careful whether you want to spend your money that way.
Good point. I think that's an excellent point to think about. A lot of times people think in terms of pricing on the how much can we get per sweep into things, and they don't think about, you know, ways that they can reduce their cost of doing business. I'm always reminded of a guy named Uri Benyushar, who has a company in, I believe it's Connecticut, Rhode Island area, and he has now gone into the third-party business too, which is, of course, another story. But I know he talks at the National Pavement Expo where he bids his fuel. He has a fuel tank that gets filled every week or several times a week. But he bids his fuel, he always proudly tells everybody, among three different vendors every week. So the winner this week fills the tank next week among those three vendors. And he talks about that saving him, you know, 3 or 4 cents a gallon, typically. You don't think about those kinds of things necessarily, but that's a system where once he got it set up, doesn't cost him any more to do, and yet it brings back a lower level pricing. Any of those things you can take advantage of sure make a difference.
Where my garage sits, we're almost within a half a mile of four speedways. And in Lexington, they seem to be the leader on price. They've set the price and everybody follows it. But depending on where it is around me, if Sam's Club still is maintaining their price, the speedway near the Sam's will match the Sam's Club price. So I use their gas card. I get 3 cents off a gallon by using that, and the way I pay for it, I get another 3 cents off. So I just look at the Gas Buddy app on the phone before we leave the garage, look at the four speedways that are all within a half mile around us, see which one has the best price, and we go there. And that can be a difference of 15 cents a night just by going to the same branded gas speedway or paying that extra price by not checking it.
Very good point. Yeah, that's a great app. Everybody should be using that on their phone, that's for sure, unless they're getting their own fuel. Jim, do you have GPS on your sweepers? And if so, what has that experience been for you?
I do. I have it on every truck. I did this probably 5 years ago. I do not know how I managed to get by without it now that I have it. 5 years ago, I had a truck, a driver at the Walmart, at a Walmart, and he's blowing the sidewalk, and all of a sudden, the sweeper just drives right by him, and someone had jumped in it and drove off with it. And, of course, he called me, we called the police, and it was about 2 weeks later when we found it. This happened in Lexington. They found it in Frankfort over a ravine down by the river. They found it at about 5:30 in the morning, and they saw the headlights at the bottom of the hill, and somebody called the police thinking somebody had wrecked. Don't know if somebody did wreck or they pushed it over the hill to abandon it or what, but I came close to never seeing that sweeper again, because I think if the batteries had gone dead, probably never would have noticed it down there. So we got the sweeper back, got it repaired. I put the GPS in every truck for that reason, just so that we could find them, not knowing that the benefits of being able to see exactly where every truck is at any moment, and then being able to look at history, where they had been the entire night, to be able to do it tonight or last week or whenever there's a question. I can go back and basically do a ride-along and just watch where the dots pop up, the route they took. I can see if they're, you know, first of all, doing something wrong, like going home for lunch or whatever, which I don't allow, or they're taking some ridiculous route and costing me gas money because they're going the wrong way on the Circle Road or whatever it might be.
Because they like the donut shop that's there rather than the one on the... when, exactly. And you get to stop there that you don't get to if you go on the freeway.
Yes. And, you know, just to be able to tweak a route or talk with the driver about there's a much better way of getting there, or having to sit down and ask them, why were you on that side of town? You know, there's nothing on your route that's even over there. What were you doing? They realize that there's GPS. For some reason, you tell them, but they must not understand the capabilities and get caught. So it's kind of funny that way.
And you want to catch them right away so that you can keep them as an employee. You don't want to fire them. You want
exactly.
to train them.
Yes. Yeah, so I can't imagine not having GPS in your trucks. Every now and then a property manager or a customer will ask about 3 days ago, did you see something, or what time were you all there last Wednesday? I can go back and look it up and tell them we were there at whatever, 3:31, and we left at 4:19 to the minute when we were there. What we did, where the truck stops, front, back, I can see everything. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's real confidence-inspiring, too, for the property managers. There's no question. All right, and do you know the name of the GPS that you use?
I started off with a SageQuest. They just got by, I think it's called Fleet Matrix, that's how you pronounce it, but
mm-hmm.
they just got purchased by Fleet Matrix, which I think is one of the largest vendors.
Okay. Just in case somebody wants to look into that particular one. Thank you for that. You have quite a few different services that you've built up through the years, Jim. And you do a lot of snow plowing and ice control, I know, and some pressure washing and probably more. Do you feel that that's been a real good addition to your business, or do you wish you hadn't, or how does that work?
Well, the snow removal, it's almost complimentary to sweeping. We know the parking lot probably better than anyone in town, better than the owner most likely, where the curbs are, the manhole covers, because we're on the lot every night. We can't, of course, plow every parking lot that we sweep, so we'll have probably 30 properties that we snow plow. And we had a couple snows this winter that were, one was 15 inches and one was 23 inches, and the curbs were covered up. After the snow melted, you wouldn't believe the amount of islands that were just taken out. They're just gone. The curbs, the dirt, everything just pushed out of the way by these bigger, you know, dump truck type plows that they had in. Luckily, we knew where the speed bumps were, where the curbs were, and didn't have that kind of damage. And that's something I think a property manager needs to understand, that even with stakes, if the person isn't on site year-round, and we get the big snow, all they're going to see is just a flat snow parking lot, and where those islands are, they'll have no clue. Just take and just basically remove them with a plow.
They'll mostly leave the light poles in, but won't know where anything else is.
Exactly. So the snow removal, it fits perfect with us. Most, you know, it's hard to plow during the day when you have a Kroger's or something like that, because they, even though you get 3 or 4 days notice the storm's coming, it seems like half of the town waits until the snow starts before they go to the grocery store. So we'll salt during the day and plow after it's died down at night, which we would be doing anyway, whether we were sweeping or salting. So the guys are on that kind of schedule, and it works out perfect. The other services like mowing and pressure washing, I do not enjoy them at all, but and just do them as small as we can, very few places.
And is it just so that the customer can call you up and you know, work with you rather than you not wanting them to go off to somebody else? Or do you, or so what happens if they call up and they want a service, they want striping? Do you try to help them with that, or do you feel it's better off to have them go out and find the striper of their choice?
They may ask for a referral, and I know, you know, from just being in the parking lots, who seems to do a good job and who seems professional, so I could give that recommendation. But the ones that, say, want me to pressure wash, they have asked me after I started the sweeping, and I could easily have said no. I haven't taken anywhere. It's been 10-15 years since I did a job because I had to do pressure washing to get the sweeping. But that's sort of how that happened. If I wanted the sweeping, I had to do pressure washing. So I got the pressure washer. We did it until it just wasn't a requirement anymore, and I dropped out.
How about you, Jimmy? What are your plans in terms of, you know, building up Louisville Pavement Sweep? Do you plan on adding more services besides sweeping?
Well, I've been extremely lucky as it's worked out, where I've been in business for a year and a half, and within the first 4 or 5 months, I already had a truck filled up and was able to get another sweeper, and since then I've bought another sweeper. So my business demand has kind of outgrown what I can, what other services I can provide. I'd rather have it where I know I can sweep the parking lot 100%. I can satisfy the customers. I can get the employees trained to sweep a parking lot. And since it's been such a short amount of time, I've been focused on that. But as the time goes on and I feel like I've got everything at 100%, then I would entertain doing the snow removal, the pressure washing, that kind of stuff.
Ranger, that's how I got into the snow removal business also, was I had a, through the sweeping contacts and contracts, I had a property manager ask if I did snow removal. You know, I'd entertained the thought, but here's someone that actually wants me to do it, get my feet wet slowly, and learn the business. So I, you know, already had the four-wheel drive truck that I drove myself. I got to plow the equipment and started plowing, and it was exhilarating fun. It was great to be out in the storm, and it was almost like the sweeping. You pull in, and the whole parking lot's covered. You can plow it, get it down to, you know, a film of white, throw some salt on it, and when you're done, before you even drive away, it looks like it's July. And it was extremely satisfying, and it just kept growing and growing, and now every storm I'm sending out 8 plow trucks and salters, and it's just been great.
Are some of those driven by your sweeper operators? And then other than that, you have other people you bring in?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're either going to send the sweepers out or plow trucks out, depending on what the weather's doing in the wintertime. But so they're.
And one good thing about my dad is that he has the sweepers doing the snow plow, but his driver's safety has been more important than anything else. So I think he's done a great job of not only teaching them the safety of the sweeper trucks, how to operate them and that kind of thing, but he's also done a great job of cross-training into the snowplow business, too.
Well, and, that's what it sounds like. And I want to make a clarification that you said, you know, you used the term sweepers, and you really mean the sweeper operators, that you're not actually plowing with your sweepers. And there are a few people out there that do that, and why you would take that expensive a piece of equipment, take the sweeping head off, put a plow on, and now, you know, go out there with something like that to do that. I have no idea why people do it, but there are a few that do. One question I have is, have you made any mistakes, Jim, through the years that you looked back on, you know, after you made it for a while and said, gee, I shouldn't be doing it this way, what was I thinking about, or things that you learned on the fly that might help other contractors?
Well, I can tell you that it wasn't a mistake I made, but it's one I narrowly avoided. And I get sucked into almost making the same mistake every time it's time to purchase a truck. And I see the big cab over sweepers with the big auxiliary engine on the back, and they sound impressive. And I kind of want one. But the price tag, the operating expense, the repair and maintenance is just astronomical. It's all an expense that is unnecessary, in my opinion, to get a parking lot clean. I'm running conventional cabs, the Osprey that Nighthawk has. It picks up anything and everything that I've run across. I can remember back 20 years ago, and I can't remember if it was Schwartz or Temco, but one of the salesmen said that our truck will pick up a brick. And I had never remembered seeing a brick in a parking lot. About 5 years ago, at one of my properties, laying out in the middle of the parking lot, what do I see but a brick? And I had a real good laugh when I saw that. It took me 15 years that I would have been driving a cab over, huge truck, sucking up cigarette butts and bottles just so that I could run over that brick instead of getting out and picking it up with my hand.
Well, I have to comment on that in that I worked with the Schwartz family for years on their marketing, and that was my marketing idea when one of the contractors called in, and he was talking about going on a demo with a 344, I think it was at the time, which is now the 348. And he said there was a brick there among all this other stuff, and so he tried to maneuver his sweeper so he would just miss the brick because he knew he couldn't pick it up, and he misjudged it a little bit and ended up driving over it, and to his astonishment the machine picked it up and threw it in the hopper. So we built an advertising campaign around that, and I think what the appeal was goes back to what you just said a little while ago, is that you don't really need it, but everybody likes the idea of, you know, especially macho guys, you know, bigger,
yeah,
better, slicker, faster.
Impressive, that's for,
yeah,
sure.
So that's I couldn't agree more. You don't see them very often now. A full diaper load. Now that's another thing.
Yeah.
You know, you want that to get picked up
after a rain.
Yeah, that's right. How about you, Jimmy? Have you seen anything? You're working for your dad all those years probably saved you from the most common errors, but that doesn't mean there aren't some out there that, you know, when you're a fresh business owner, you do things that you wonder, look back at later.
Well, mine's not, I've been in business such a short time, it's not a specific point, but it's more of a general theme is, when I first started, I had a game plan. I'm a very type A personality, so I wanted to have everything planned to the T. I knew who was working, what truck they were driving, what places, and the list went on and on. And as I learned over the year and a half, is that you can have everything planned out to a T, and then something goes wrong that you never even anticipated or expected to go wrong. And I remember when I first started, something would go wrong with the truck, and I would just get myself in a tizzy because I hadn't planned on anything going wrong. So as the time has gone on, I've gotten a lot better at realizing that I can't plan for everything. Something's going to go wrong eventually, and the only thing I can do is adapt to what has happened and try to go from that point. And since I've realized that, it's made my blood pressure go down a whole lot.
I can understand that completely. Now, I would comment on that, though, that one of the ways to increase your or to reduce your blood pressure, you know, even further, is to recognize the things that go wrong and to try to mitigate them before they happen. And for example, you know, have a another set of flaps on hand. If your machines use belts, you know, have a belt on hand. It's a very inexpensive thing to have hanging on the wall. But if your sweeper goes down, whether you have an in-house service technician or not, you're going to have that part, and you don't want to wait for it to get there from the sweeper manufacturer. So especially the things that you cannot get in town, then, you know, you want to have them on hand. And sometimes that means a spare employee that you know, somebody that's really looking for work and you weren't able to hire him, you know, that... you know, have keep those guys in a list and see when the time comes. If you need somebody, you got somebody to call.
Yes, and I think that's important for anybody that would think about starting a sweeping company or any company for that matter, is to realize that you can't control everything 100% of the time. You know, maybe a driver is not paying attention, hits a pole. You can't control that. Or, you know, something just completely breaks with the truck. You can't control that, and you just have to kind of roll with it as it comes.
Well, we've had at least one contractor that I featured through the years, and I did it just because of what his situation was, but he's was out there in the Midwest, and his entire business model was no sweepers, only guys with... brooms and wheelbarrows and so forth. So, you know, it can be done.
Yes. Now, you know, I would counter with it, to the untrained eye, it will look like the parking lot's clean. The money that I'm sure he's trying to get the top dollar that he can get from the owner or the property manager, but what isn't seen is that grit and that sand and that kind of stuff that's still in the parking lot. When the traffic comes in to parallel park, the back end, turn their wheels, they're grinding that grit into the sealer, into the paint. They're going to need, whatever they are saving, they're going to lose the life of the parking lot sealer. They're going to have to seal coat earlier, maybe stripe earlier, which will be an expense that they aren't actually saving by having someone walk around with a bucket picking up trash.
Mm-hmm.
It can be done, but it can't be done on a permanent basis, or you're going to end up losing the parking lot.
I'd agree almost completely. The only place I would disagree is where you said that they've got to realize that grit's all still out there on the parking lot, because actually it isn't. Mm-hmm. Some of it's been tracked in on their interior floors. And it's wearing the interior floors off too fast. So, same kind of thing. Has there been anything that any questions I haven't asked? How about you, Jimmy? Have you seen anything with your fresh eyes getting into this business as a business owner that you know, maybe somebody with the years of experience your dad has might not see?
Well, with that perspective, and I don't know if it'll happen to me eventually. I hope not. But with my dad, who's been doing it for 25, 30 years, and even with the people in Louisville who have been doing it just as long, it seems like over the course of the years, a property manager will call you, you'll get a new parking lot. And over the years, you're sweeping 100 places, and that's the normal. Whereas I'm sweeping 15 places, and that's my normal. And each time I get a new parking lot, I'm ecstatic. So I would say to the people that have been doing this for a long time, and the normal is sweeping all these parking lots, to at least once a week, just think back to when you started, how much hard work it's taken to get where you are now, and just to be thankful and proud that you've been able to get that far based on your own hard work. And it seems like that's something, in my opinion, that you kind of lose over the years as business gets better and better, but it's always important to remember.
Yeah, not take it for granted.
Yes.
Well, that's excellent. This has been a great interview. I really appreciate the perspective of the two generations with, you know, each with your own company now. And I know, Jim, that you're very proud of your son. And one of the things that's come out of this interview is how proud your son is of you. So it's a good thing you guys split up your companies while that could still happen.
Well, Ranger, let me add this. I'm a member of the World Sweeping Association and also a member of NASA. And I would like to thank you for your, you know, your dedication to the industry, to the sweeping industry. Your monthly newsletter that comes, I read that. It's full of information that's useful. It's something that you can learn right there as you read it. You've had, I think, a few emergency bulletins where something's come up that we need to know about immediately. That's been extremely helpful. So when I'm here in Lexington, there's, you know, I'll run into the other sweeping companies that are here in town, and we, you know, say hey and talk for a little bit, but we're not kicking ideas around or anything. So I feel it's easy to feel isolated, that it's me against the world, and it's nice to know that you're out there also keeping an eye out for what's going on and that you'll pass the information on to me. It's been great being part of your World Sweeping Association. I feel like the other association has lost its way, unfortunately. And your association is truly helping my company, and I think any sweeping company that would be part of it. And I want to thank you for that.
Well, those are very kind words to offer out there, Jim, and they're really appreciated. And I will add to this that recently we got an application from Jimmy, your son, as well. So that's you couldn't ask for anything more when you think that it's that important that should happen. And I've got to say, one of the things that I've loved about this, and it's actually, you say every month, we actually send out two a month of these, and I say that because some people are on the worldsweeper.com email list and get their one newsletter a month and think, you know, that's the same as what is happening in World Sweeping Association, but of course, the inside info is at WSA. And it's really been enjoyable for me, and let me throw this back to the members of WSA. I didn't know when I said that I would write every 2 weeks that I would write an update to members. I had wondered if I was going to be able to follow through with that. And I just took the plunge. And what it has turned out is that sweeping contractors that are members throughout across the country, because they know that their ideas and their information that they learn out there on their street in their state will get transmitted out to everybody else, they're feeding me all this great information, and they love the fact that, you know, it's out there helping the industry. I think everybody has an innate feel that, you know, we are kind of an isolated industry. A lot of it's being done at night, and you don't have a venue for really getting a way to distribute all that information that we all need to run our businesses better. So anyway, I certainly appreciate I appreciate your kind words, and I appreciate the fact that you two, you know, developed your business models together as well as you did, and that you're able to make that work and have a. It just sounds like a great relationship between the two of you. And if it isn't, don't tell me. Is there anything else we should say here before we wrap this up? And
well, I can. I guess anybody that might listen to this, that's in the business, I respect you. I know how tough this is to do this 7 days a week, at the worst possible time of day, under any kind of weather that changes nightly. Try to balance, you know, your family and life and everything that you have to do to live. You've got my respect. It's tough. I'm, you know, on one hand, I'm very proud of Jimmy. On the other, I'm very worried for him because of how tough it is. But he's a tough guy, and I know he'll do well.
And that's one of the things about the competition, too, is you go into business and you think, I'm going to annihilate the competition. I hate my competitors and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, when I see one of my competitors' trucks out there, I don't have to know the guy that's sweeping it. I just can automatically know that I respect him because I know how hard this job is, and we're kind of comrades in that sense.
Well, that's right. And so knowing, you're able to know how tough it is to do a great job each and every time, and that's the challenge, is to is to transmit that. Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. Much appreciated. Just as a reminder, we have been speaking with Jim Blackerby, Jr. He is the head of Lexington Pavement Sweep and the second generation that's moved across the state to Louisville is Jim Blackerby the Third, and who we have for convention called Jimmy during this interview, and he is the next rising star in his market area of Louisville, and it sounds like you're well on your way to doing that. And we really appreciate that this is a great featured contractor interview for April of 2015. Thanks again.
Thank you, Ranger.
Thanks.
Now, Jim, do you have GPS on your sweepers? And if so, what has that experience been for you?
I do. I have it on every truck. I did this probably 5 years ago. I do not know how I managed to get by without it now that I have it. 5 years ago, I had a truck, a driver at the Walmart, at a Walmart, and he's blowing the sidewalk, and all of a sudden, the sweeper just drives right by him, and someone had jumped in it and drove off with it. And of course, he called me, we called the police, and it was about 2 weeks later when we found it. This happened in Lexington. They found it in Frankfort over a ravine down by the river. They found it at about 5:30 in the morning, and they saw the headlights at the bottom of the hill, and somebody called the police thinking somebody had wrecked. Don't know if somebody did wreck or they pushed it over the hill to abandon it or what. But I came close to never seeing that sweeper again because I think if the batteries had gone dead, probably never would have noticed it down there. So we got the sweeper back, got it repaired. I put the GPS in every truck for that reason, just so that we could find them, not knowing that the benefits of being able to see exactly where every truck is at any moment and then being able to look at history, where they had been the entire night. To be able to do it tonight or last week or whenever there's a question, I can go back and basically do a ride-along and just watch where the dots pop up, the route they took. I can see if they're, you know, first of all, doing something wrong, like going home for lunch or whatever, which I don't allow, or they're taking some ridiculous route and costing me gas money because they're going the wrong way on East Circle Road or whatever it might be.
Because they like the donut shop that's there rather than the one on the... when.
Exactly.
And you get to stop there that you don't get to if you go on the freeway.
Yes. And, you know, just to be able to tweak a route or talk with the driver about there's a much better way of getting there or having to sit down and ask them, why were you on that side of town? You know, there's nothing on your route that's even over there. What were you doing? They realize that there's GPS. For some reason, you tell them, but they must not understand the capabilities and get caught. So it's kind of funny that way.
And you want to catch them right away so that you can keep them as an employee. You don't want to fire them. You want
exactly.
to train them.
Yes. Yeah, so I can't imagine not having GPS in your trucks. Every now and then, a property manager, a customer will ask about 3 days ago, did you see something, or what time were you all there last Wednesday? I can go back and look it up and tell them we were there at whatever 3:31, and we left at 4:19 to the minute when we were there. What we did, where the truck stops, front, back, I can see everything. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's real confidence-inspiring, too, for the property managers. There's no question. All right, and do you know the name of the GPS that you
yes.
use?
I started off with a SageQuest, they just got by I think it's called Fleet Matrix, is how you pronounce it, but they just got purchased by Fleet Matrix, which I think is one of the largest vendors.
Okay. Just in case somebody wants to look into that particular one. Thank you for that.
You bet.